Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily Jensen here with my sister-in-law, Laura Wiffler.
Hello, hello.
And we are just so excited today
to
be talking about the most wonderful time of the year.
Yes, we love Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas. And some of you guys have maybe been listening to Christmas music since Halloween. You're those type of people. But some of you guys are probably just getting ready to think about your decorations and what you're going to do this season. And so we thought it would just be fun to do kind of a lighthearted but also truthful show about just traditions and children and the gospel and all that good stuff.
Yes, totally. I know that like ever since I became a mom, it's felt like so exciting because I have like kind of control over what happens at Christmas and it can be as special as I want it to be. But other times, you know, it's also like this huge pressure because it's like, oh, it's never very easy to do that. Or, you know, things go haywire with kids and it's a little crazy. So I think it's a learning process for me with Christmas of kind of like having these fun things to do, but then also having a majorly open hand, right?
Yes. So Laura, because I know the family you grew up in, obviously, and you know the family I grew up in to some degree. Share a little bit about how you and I came from like pretty different backgrounds tradition-wise. So what was it like for you? How has that impacted what you are trying to do as a mom?
Yeah. So I grew up without a lot of traditions. It was very loose schedule. We often did not even celebrate Christmas on Christmas Day. It would have been like December 17th or January 1st or whatever day we kind of had. We were traveling maybe, seeing family. We didn't do stockings. We didn't do a traditional meal. I'm trying to think, like all the things that regular families do, not that like Christmas wasn't special. It was wonderful. And like, it was all about family and being together and, just coziness. That's kind of the memories I have, but I don't have these memories of like waking up on Christmas morning in my pajamas and eating cookies and this big breakfast and then opening gifts. Like my dad would be so excited about gifts. He'd be like, let's open one, you know, December 3rd. And then,
which is how I understand my husband so well.
Yeah. So it's funny because like, even by the time we'd get to like quote Christmas, we'd have like two presents and that's fine, you know, but it was just, it's very different from sort of that traditional and how my husband grew up sort of like, and we'll share in a minute with kind of the lots of intense, elaborate, like we do it this way and it doesn't change, which is really, really special. I think that's something that as a mom, you know, I've always sort of, I want to implement. I've seen that and thought, oh, I would like to do that for my kids. And I think it, has helped for me to come from a background that is like, oh, anything goes, you know, whatever we want to do this year. But at the same time, I also do want to give some of those traditions to my kids. And I think we'll talk about that going forward. One thing we did have, this is awesome idea. I'll share it later, but we had a promise tree and I will go into what that was later. That was awesome. My mom killed it on that one.
Yeah, so I know you guys had a couple things.
We did.
But yeah, it's totally interesting when you bring two families together and you see like all of those things come out, all those differences.
Yes.
But, as Laura mentioned, I came from like a pretty tradition heavy background, and I actually, my one younger brother has special needs. And so he is very, if you've ever been around some people with special needs, they're very routine oriented. They want a lot of consistency and they will remind you if you forget the consistency. And so even if my parents ever wanted to change, they probably couldn't because my brother knew that like on Thanksgiving night at like by 7 o'clock, we need to be unloading the tree out of the basement, putting it up. So, we really stuck to tradition. I mean, everything from, again, decorating on Thanksgiving night to we had these chocolate advent calendars my dad would have. We had stockings. We had literally down to the specific type of food we ate on Christmas Eve and the dishes that we ate off of. Everything was really consistent. And so, like, I have very vivid Christmas memories. But on some ways, I feel like that's created pressure for me.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
Because I feel like, oh, I want to recreate some of these things for my kids. Like, I have such good memories. But I find that our life has been unpredictable and challenging in the last...
She married into my family.
Yeah, like, you know, it's just been like, and I'll get more into it later in the show as we talk about, you know, like one Christmas I had newborn twins, another Christmas I had three toddlers, and it's just like, it hasn't been this ideal thing. So I think I'm trying to take a long-term view of Christmas now and say, you know what, like my kids probably won't even remember anything before they're five.
Yes, and I love that fact. I love that. I take that to the bank.
And so, and then, you know, the things that really stick with them are probably, you know, when I look back, it's what I did in high school, you know, or like maybe middle school are the things that like I would consider. So I don't really know if we were that strict with traditions when we were young, but I'm kind of counting that I have a few more years to like figure it out and get stable.
Well, I think that's like a huge thing to remember, you know, for all of us is that like I go to Pinterest and like I get really excited because I'm like, look at all these wonderful ideas. And then I get super depressed because how much time it takes to implement and... You know, like it just, the kids are like picking their nose in the corner and screaming around and it just, it never looks like what it's going to look like. But that doesn't mean traditions shouldn't happen.
Yeah. And I love looking at some of the biblical reasons for traditions because it is, it's more than just a cultural thing that we do.
Yes.
Laura brought this out to me and it really hadn't crossed my mind before that God is the inventor of tradition.
You're not going to find the word in the Bible, but he did create them.
No, that's, I love that. Cause as soon as you said, I was like, well, duh, like look at the whole Old Testament, but I just like had never put two and two together before.
Yeah. Yeah. I know the entire Old Testament, like if you look at any of their ceremonies, any of their festivals and always it sort of began with God saying, you know, remember the Lord your God, remember what he has done for you. I mean, you can go, I was like thinking about a few different ones of just like the Festival of Booths, that was to remember the Jews 40 years in the desert. That Passover was for those that sprinkled the blood of the lamb over their doorposts. They were passed over and saved in Egypt. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, I mean, to remembering their haste or their quick exodus from Egypt. There are so many more that the Israelites celebrated, all these festivals and these ceremonies and these kind of rituals. And if you think about it, those are what traditions are. Traditions are things that we kind of do over and over again. And they can be really small, like a daily quiet time, or they can be really like, quote, big, like a Christmas Advent calendar or something that takes a little bit more time and happens just once a year. But those things are built to remember, you know, what God has done for you in the past.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And it's a generational thing. And especially in the Old Testament and in the New Testament too, you see this model of that's how people were passing along, you know, the law and the great, you know, stories of their faith and the redemption story and how they knew that they were looking forward to a Messiah and how those in the New Testament knew they were looking forward to the second coming of Christ. It was really, you know, word of mouth and being faithful to share from one generation to the next. And so I think as we are thinking about traditions, we're keeping in mind that this is our overall goal as parents is to remind our children about what God has already done and to point them ahead to what he is going to still do. And getting to do things for Christmas is just a part of that big plan. And it's just one more exciting way you can kind of do it and shake things up. And I always like, cause it kind of gets me reinvigorated and refocused in a time of the year when I'm typically stressed or like, you know, I'm busy. So it would probably more fall by the wayside.
Yeah, totally. And I think for me, I've always kind of felt like, oh, traditions are like a kiddie thing. And, you know, they're not really for the adults. Like they just do them for the kids. But as I looked at the Old Testament, and I read this book that we'll share in the show notes, Noelle Piper's Treasuring God in Our Traditions. When I was reading that and like looking into the stuff, because I was like super into Advent last year, I was like kind of obsessed with making it like awesome. And I can talk about that later. But, so as I was kind of studying and looking into this stuff, I really felt like, oh, I'm going to do this for my kids. But what I started realizing was that, no, this is for the grownups, you know, this is for me to remember what God has done. Cause he has worked in my own life. Not only did he work in the Israelites and the whole past of like the redemptive story and bringing like everything together and one day waiting for the Messiah, but he's done that for me. This isn't just about the Israelites, and it's for his chosen people, and it's about me. And so I loved that of like, I didn't really do the whole Advent thing growing up. Again, shouldn't be surprised there. Really didn't know what the word Advent even meant. And so I think that we can explain that, but that was something that was a big realization for me, is that, no, I want to do traditions, not just for my children, but for me to remember like what God has done in my life.
Yeah. And I love, that just that being able to stay focused on what really matters, and just the way it can make just space for our families to have not only good memories, but just to remember to focus on Christ, which is the point of the whole season. So however you choose to do that in your family is great. And just keeping that in mind is super important. So I know Laura mentioned Advent, and some of you guys may have like, you know, weird thoughts attached to that.
I totally did. So
we want to just like take a few minutes to explain what we mean when we say Advent, if that's like a new word to you or a concept that maybe you haven't practiced a lot.
Yeah, I just kind of thought, oh, that's for other people or somebody else. I don't know. And so, yeah, Advent is really, it's just a season of anticipation. It's the season leading up to Christmas. So you typically start it 4 Sundays before Christmas. And that's when, you know, believers look kind of back to the Old Testament. We've been talking about all these things that God did. And at the time in the Old Testament, they didn't know what God's plan for redemption exactly was. We get to live on this side of the cross. And so we know, but they were looking forward with anticipation, with longing for God's redemption, which was ultimately, as we know, Jesus. And so we get to celebrate these things now, but we can take the season of Advent to remember the longing for the Savior. And for us, our longing will be to reunited with Christ at the end when he comes back to meet our Savior in full glory. And so Advent is a season for both looking back at what God's done, again, I feel like a broken record, but also looking forward to what Christ will yet do. So there are some things around that people do. I mentioned an Advent calendar or Advent candles. You light a candle on each Sunday leading up to it. Advent calendars have like a daily thing. You've probably seen them. They're Pinterest hits. So you've probably seen them, but we can link to a couple of ideas or like I have an Advent calendar that I really like that I just made. So if you want to do those things, that's kind of what that is. And I think it's a great, great time to do like a devotional. There are millions of devotionals out there for Advent and really just think about what God's done for you and be grateful for his work in your life and his plan to someday fully redeem all of us.
Exactly. And so like Laura said, definitely go to our show notes and we will try to include some resources so you can just get a better idea of what Advent is and different ideas. But I think whatever you do, we just wanted to give some ideas, principles of kind of how to apply. And one of the things I think that's been hard for me is just planning ahead, because I don't think about Advent until like 1 week into Advent.
Well, unfortunately this show's coming out end of November. And so I feel like, oh, we should have released it in October, but you know, I don't know.
But in October, it's kind of hard to click on something called Christmas.
So true. So this is for this year and next year.
Yes, exactly. And especially if you have young children, like, again, just start something and figure it out. I have a little chain link that counts down in the whole month of December that I hang up for our kids. And this will be my 3rd year of using it. And literally when I take it down in January, I just put it in a Ziploc bag and put it in a drawer. So it's like ready to go for the next year. You know, so it's kind of nice because once you invest that upfront time, 1 year, it's something that you can use over and over again.
Totally. Last year was when I finally implemented the Advent calendar that I landed on. So I've tried a few of these and totally home job. But it was funny because I just realized like, oh, my kids need to be a little older. Like, I feel like there were times when he was just like running around and not wanting to do it. But there's also like an element of it's good to like start these things. And even if they are running around and going yes. crazy and saying, I don't want to do this. But you talk to them about the importance of trying to sit, and they're squirming, maybe playing with Legos. I remember a lot of times my kids would play with the nativity while we would do our advent calendar. So that's one thing. Don't idealize it, you know, mm-hmm. and remember that it's not going to be perfect, that there is going to be fights, there's going to be tears, all those things, but they are taking things in more than you know. And I think Emily mentioned this on a show in the past, but of just like, you know, a lot of these things that we start doing when they're really little, they will just grow up knowing that kind of this is the way that we go. This is the thing that my family does. And so if you're kind of diligent to work with them now, a lot of times in the future, it gets easier and easier with these rhythms and routines.
Totally. And just wanted to jump onto this point of don't idealize it, because I think that I came into motherhood idealizing traditions and idealizing routines. And so I've really struggled because in the last 3 to 4 years, like I mentioned early in the show, I had newborn twins 1 year. I had 3 children under 3, like another year, and I didn't even put up a Christmas tree because it would have gotten torn down in a second. Last year, I had a miniature tree that was up on like a shelf.
It was like so high up. It was really funny.
And you know, there was just like no sitting involved in my house. And this year my husband and I are likely going to be moving like yes. right at Christmas time. Yeah. And we may not even have a tree. And so that is 4 years in a row of
that's crazy.
Not my ideal and right. craziness. And so I've just so had to lay that down and say, it's not about my decorations. It's yes. not about, you know, the foods I'm doing. It's not about my perfect activities. Exactly. It's not about, you know, my kids probably won't sit through like a Jesse tree for several years. And right. like, but that's okay. However I can find to point my children to Christ, even in things like we drink hot cocoa and talk about Jesus.
Totally.
Or, you know, we walk around and we listen to Christmas music in the car, yep. like, you know, good like hymns.
Yes.
And, you know, look at Christmas lights or whatever those things are. It's okay that they're small and
right.
crazy.
Right.
And again, trying to take that long-term view. So I just wanted to point that out of like, if you feel like, hey, I'm failing at this, like
right.
I'm going on 4 years of like not anything like what I planned or what I hope for the future, but want to have an open hand and not let Advent turn me into a crazy, stressed out, angry mom.
Totally. And that's a great way that you can show your children the reason of the season, to use that
yeah.
silly catchphrase. But your attitude is going to reflect to them what they're going to remember about Christmas. And that's something that I just really took from my mom, is that like, it was very like, this is about family. Like, if I'm going to tell you what Christmas was about growing up, it was about being together as a family. And mm-hmm. I couldn't even tell you any of the other things because they changed all the time and everything was a little bit crazy. But I really appreciate that that's what it was about. And so we can do all these fun other things, but like ultimately if it's about Jesus Christ being the center and you guys being together as a family. And so as Emily said, don't have this perfect picture of what it's going to look like, and hopefully you can incorporate traditions in, but hopefully for any of you young moms too, we have lots of years to really
yes.
build that. But other ideas that we kind of wanted to just shoot out was like service, you know, go bake
yeah.
cookies together, you know,
yes.
do Operation Christmas Child is a big one. Make cards, go sing carols at a nursing home. I mean, those are easy things that you don't have to do anything with decor or like every single night, you know?
Yes. And Laura mentioned, which I love this idea, getting a nativity set that your children can play with.
Mm, yeah.
We have one I'll link to in the show notes. It's just like little people.
It's
totally
so good.
Plastic.
Yes.
And they love it, and
yes.
they play with it every day for like a month. And it's a
totally.
Perfect way to talk about the gospel and the story of Christmas with your children.
Yes. Let's see. Then Jesus's birthday cake. That's something I grew up doing, but just remembering that this is Jesus's birthday. You know, we forget that very
mm-hmm.
easily. So you can do a cake for him. Traditional foods. I know that my husband has so many memories around food. Again, I don't really, but I want to incorporate that in. Those are kind of easy things. Hopefully makes your lives easier if we always do cinnamon rolls. Singing carols, as Emily mentioned, in music. I know too, letting my son pick out the gifts for family and friends. That's a huge life lesson for him, because we go to the store specifically
yes.
for that family member. We don't go, you know, he's not getting a toy out of it. And we have to think about, okay, why are we doing this? We talk through why we mm-hmm. buy our friends gifts or cousins or whomever. And then we also say, what would your friend or your cousin like? Not what would you like? And I think that's been a huge lesson of him to think of others. And that's something you're already going to do anyway. So why not turn it into a special time to teach your child about Jesus?
Totally. And now I am so excited to go get out all my Christmas decorations.
I know. I can't wait.
And then
wait.
Put them back in a few weeks when I maybe move. So.
Oh, I know.
We'll see what I do. Anyways, we will try to have a ton more resources for you guys on the show
yes.
notes. I know I've written about this. I don't know, Laura, if you've written about it, but we'll have anything that
yeah.
that we have on the topic.
Totally.
And so definitely go check those out at risenmotherhood.com. And if you enjoyed this show and you're a regular listener, please think of leaving us a rating and a review
yes.
on iTunes. It's really, really helpful for other moms to find us and hear how the gospel applies to motherhood. And again, we are on social media at Risen Motherhood. So hope you guys have a great Christmas. I'm not going to yeah. start singing for you because you'll turn it off. But
have a great Christmas, everyone.